single one of you. This morning we will be journeying through the book of Daniel, the first six chapters. So if you would like to go ahead and pull out your Bible or turn on your phone or your tablet or whatever it may be that you read scripture from, go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel. Want to say thank you to those who were able to come out yesterday and help finish kind of wrapping up the cleaning of our campus. We had a large crowd here with us yesterday, and it worked out well, and everything got done. So thank you very much to those who were able to make it out. As you get to Daniel, once you get there, just kind of be still, and we'll pray together, and then we will take wherever Daniel will allow us to go this morning. Let's pray. Father, for this time in your word, we thank you and we praise you. Father, we ask at this time, right here, right now, that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, you would soften our hearts, and that you would help us to receive from your word. Father, thank you for this book of Daniel. Thank you for the power within. Thank you for its stories. Help us to hear them this morning. Help us to see them. Through Jesus, we pray and give thanks. And all who agree say, amen. Amen. This year, we have been journeying through reading through the Bible as a whole. And if you're like me, you've noticed certain themes that just keep on popping up over and over and over again within the biblical narrative. For me, I kind of see this as you can take all the big picture themes within the Bible, all the big themes within the biblical narrative, you could put them on the front of a note card, and on the back you could still have room to constitute. Because in reality, in truth, the Bible does say very few things. If you read the entirety like we're doing and you see these themes, they keep on repeating themselves over and over again. In truth, in reality, the Bible says very few things. But the manner and the kind of the state at which it says those very few things are in stories like Daniel, in stories like the Exodus, in stories like David, in stories like Jesus, in stories like the letters of Paul that we've been journeying through. So the Bible says very few things, but what it does is it says those things beautifully within stories, within narratives. And this morning we are going to be looking at a very powerful narrative within the First Testament called the Book of Daniel. What I have noticed about myself over the years is that I am becoming more and more focused on the headlines and less concerned with the content that makes the headlines the headlines. And I do this in so many different areas of my life. I take some big political issue or some complex internal struggle involving faith or a big special holiday like we just celebrated, and I reduce it to something small and then shoot it out on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And depending upon what it is I have posted, I either wait for the wrath to ensue or for the likes to appear, and then after being affirmed or denied based upon the likes that I received or did not receive, I then go on with my life. I think you guys are following me here. We are a headline type of people. Just give me the facts, ma'am. That's all I want. Don't clutter me or take up my time with all the content. And I do this with pictures. Take some beautiful picture of a mountain or some beautiful picture of a sunset, and we reduce it to just a picture after four or six filters, and then we shoot it out and then we move on. SportsCenter takes a 3-hour game and reduces it to 15 to 20 second highlight reels, and that which is complex or big becomes simple and small. The issue with this is that we wind up reducing our lives this way. We take some big complex, the mountains, the beautiful sunset around the ocean, and we take a little image of it. We filter it. We take something complex and we make it simple. We take something big and we make it small. And all of our life becomes the big, important highlight reel or the picture after four edited filters. And what can often happen is that we reduce our ordinary, everyday life and compare it to someone else's highlight reel. Now, those of you that took pictures of your Thanksgiving dinner and then you posted them on wherever you posted them, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever the pace may be, and then you look at somebody else's Thanksgiving meal and yours doesn't add up. It's not quite as good as it once was when you snapped yours, when you compare it to somebody else's. But behind every great story, behind every great moment, behind every great picture are hundreds and thousands of stories and moments that no one took the time to notice. Behind every overnight success story lies hundreds of sleepless nights. Behind every one-handed catch lies hundreds of dropped passes. Check out this quote from MJ, the GOAT. If there's a GOAT, if there's the greatest of all time, it is MJ. He says, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I've missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." I hope this makes sense to you guys. Behind every one night, behind all the success stories that we know about in life, are hundreds and thousands of failures or choices or mistakes along the way. Behind every great story lies thousands of other stories and choices along the way. This one truth greatly impacts the way in which we read stories like those found in the book of Daniel. Because unfortunately, for the most part, we treat Daniel like a VBS highlight reel. We take the first six chapters, we leave 7 through 12 alone, we'll leave those for the adult class. But we take chapters 1 through 6 and we reduce them to a VBS highlight reel. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but that's how we treat at times the book of Daniel. But Daniel chapters 1 through 6 cover about 80 years of history with three narcissistic evil rulers. You got Nebuchadnezzar, you got Belshazzar, and you got Darius. And the context, the setting, the foundation where all this story begins to unpack itself goes back all the way to Daniel chapter 1. And before the radical transformation can take place in Daniel, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see common everyday obedience. And if that is all you walk away from this sermon this morning, then you've walked away with what I would hope you walk away with. It's before the radical transformation can take place, before all the dreams, before all the blazing furnace, before the lion's den, before all of those highlight reel VBS moments that we know the book of Daniel by, before all of those can take place, what we see is common everyday obedience. Chapter 1 of Daniel is the cornerstone for the rest of Daniel's and the three's stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And for me, it starts with this one question. When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? Follow with me along. The words will be on the screen as well. Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. If you make notes or if you underline in your Bible or if you highlight in your Bible, that whole first paragraph is worth highlighting. Because it sets the context, it sets the scene for the rest of the first six chapters of Daniel. They're not home anymore. Punishment has come. Exile is now at their doorstep. The Lord has delivered Judah into the hands of Babylon, and there is nothing that they can do about it. Punishment is coming, and it is knocking at the door. When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? Verse 3, then the king ordered Asphineas, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. In other words, when you exile another nation, you don't want their has-beens. You don't want their old, you don't want the washed up, you want their best of the best. Because when you usher them back in to your place and you parade them in front of your people, you want to show your people that you got their best because you are better than they. I hope this makes sense. It's what happens when you exile. You take their best of the best as a means of showing off to your own people how strong and how mighty you are. And also, how powerful your God is compared to this country's God that you've just conquered. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah. You got Daniel, you got Hananiah, you got Mishael, and you got Azariah. The chief official gave them new names with new identities. You're no longer Jews, you're no longer Hebrews, you are now in Babylon. And guess what? You get new names. You get a new identity. We have sacked your God's temple. We have destroyed your towns. We have killed your family. You now belong to us. And because you belong to us, here are your new Babylonian names. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved, underline that, highlight it, put it in stars, throw glitter on it, whatever you need to do to make that sentence jump out to you, do it. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. This is the word of the Lord. Highlight, resolved, and highlight God caused. Daniel resolved in a land that was not his own, in a home, in a town, in an area, in everything that was not his. He has experienced what none of us have ever experienced, and that is having to be physically removed from our home against our will. None of us have had to been uprooted and say, now you go where we want you to go. You no longer go where you want to go. You go where we tell you to go. And because of that, Daniel's life is turned upside down. Daniel and the three, their life is no longer as it once was. And in spite of all that, Daniel resolved not to eat food. Out of all the laws and the commands that Daniel kept close to his heart, out of all the ones that he could continue to obey, Daniel resolved not to eat the king's food nor drink the king's wine. And because of that, God had caused. When you read the rest of Daniel chapter 1, you see over and over again the active presence of God in ways that Daniel might not have seen the time that they were unfolding, the time that they were happening. See this in verse 9. God caused. You see it again in verse 17. God gave gifts and the necessities that Daniel and the three needed at the time and season in their life. And it started with this simple yet extremely risky and complex choice to resolve not to eat the king's food. Before the highlight reel, before the dreams, before the furnace, before the lion's den, we see two things unfolding in Daniel chapter 1. The first one is this. Daniel and the three are being blessed because they chose common obedience. Daniel and three are blessed because they chose common everyday obedience. Risky obedience, no doubt, but common. We're talking about food. We're talking about food. And Daniel resolved, it's just food. It almost always starts with the, it's just. It's just this. It's just that. It's just this show. It's just this website. It's just this glance. It's just this, dot, dot, dot. It always starts. Sin always starts with the, it's just. And then the compromise unfolds, and then before you know it, we're caught up in something we should not be caught up with. It always begins with the, it's just this. But for Daniel and the three, there were no it's just. And the second one is this. Their lives were attacked because of their obedience. Because they were faithful. And this is not something that just happens to Bible characters. It happens to us as well. Maybe you can relate to this. You make a stand for God. You choose to be faithful to God. And what so often happens is in the midst of our faithfulness, we experience spiritual attacks. Satan, the accuser, the adversary, the deceiver, uses that which is natural to disrupt that which is supernatural. We see this from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. What does the enemy use to distract them? What does the enemy use to distract them? Fruit. The enemy uses fruit to distract them. The enemy uses that which is natural to disrupt and overthrow that which is supernatural. We see this when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. The enemy attacks Jesus with the promise of fame, with the promise of bread, with the promise of acclaim and power. And we see this over and over again in the book of Daniel, the first six chapters. And if we look close enough at our own lives, we can see the same thing. We choose faithfulness. God blesses that faithfulness, and then the spiritual attacks occur. And they come, but even when they do occur, the Bible shows us that God was at work when we look behind, when we are currently looking at our lives. And then God is working ahead of us as well. God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our faithfulness, big or small. But He does bless us when we are faithful. The book of Daniel shows us that. But when we are faithful and we are attacked, guess what? We are in good, good company. We are just following along with the biblical story. We're fitting into the story that we were created to live into. When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness is what remains in spite of current circumstances. What we can walk away from in Daniel 1 is that Daniel and the three could have easily packed it in and given up. Babylon's won, game over. No need to trust, no need to try, no need to hope. No need to obey all those old, outdated rules and commands. We can live like little kings. Look, we get to eat from the king's table. We get to eat his leftovers or what he didn't like. We get to drink the wine that he didn't drink or didn't like. We could forget about God because somehow, some way, God has forgotten about us. Did you guys hear that? We can forget about God because somehow, some way, God has forgotten about us. It's truth-telling time. It's confession time. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. How many of you in this room have ever had that thought that God has forgotten about me? You're lying if you're not shaking your head or raising your hand. We'll have more confession later. All of us have experienced stages in our life where we have thought. The thought has crossed our head, gone into our heart, even permeated in our life, that God has forgotten about me. Guess what? You fit right in with the story of Daniel. They were besieged. They were in a place not their own. Of course they thought that God had won. They took the articles from the temple and they put them in their temple. For a Dallas fan, that's Terrell Owens going and standing on the star and doing this. Those of you that remember that play a long, long time ago. It's the same thing. What Daniel teaches us is before the highlight reel show begins in chapter 2, and it is a huge scene in the story, is when life and all that is precious to us is taken from us, what remains in spite of current circumstances might be telling us is this. What remains is our courage to hope in God's faithfulness. That is what remains. It is our courage to hope in God's faithfulness, come what may. Now, what occurs over the next five chapters in the book are some pretty remarkable stories filled with courage and hope in God's faithfulness. And we'll only focus on two this morning from our time that remains. But each one of these five stories, there is extreme pressure with a death sentence attached to every single one of them. The death sentence would come if things went south. Look here with me at chapter 2, the first dream episode involving Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar's government officials could not interpret his dream, look with me in chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. There was no kind of election going on for Babylon during that time. Not a whole lot of people wanting to be a part of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death and men who were sent to look for Daniel and his friends put to death as well. If things went south, death would come. So it's not just the king's officials who were going to be put to death, but Daniel and the three were up next. Another story of courage to hope in God's faithfulness you find in chapter 2. And what I find so powerful is that it's not like they have nothing to fall back on. They know of God's faithfulness. They have already seen and experienced God's faithfulness. It was only food that led to this type of faith. And the story continues. Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar decides he needs a 90-foot high, 9-foot wide image of himself because he wasn't conceited enough as it is. And gives this command that everyone in the kingdom would bow down to it after some inspirational music to get everyone in the right mood. But if you do not bow before the image, you will be thrown into the blazing furnace. No pressure here for a follower of God, right? No pressure, none whatsoever. Extreme pressure. Another death sentence. And what do we see in chapter 3, verses 8 through 18? Go ahead, Julie. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced to the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, all these instruments, they're getting the mood right, they're setting the mood right, and that whoever does not fall in worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of all the music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, then he will deliver us from the blazing furnace and from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." And a crazy revival takes place. And as a result of the three's courage to hope in God's faithfulness, and this story takes it to a whole nother level. This courage stretches beyond that "you will be okay" type of courage. It's going to be all right. You will be okay. This courage to hope in God's faithfulness is grounded on you. Even you can even follow through with a death sentence on the line. But no matter, even if God does not deliver us, we still choose to hope in God's faithfulness. When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, and our lives are on the line, what remains? Is not this one major truth the cross of Christ tells us? Daniel 4 and Daniel 5, more pressure, more possible death sentences if things go south, and yet more courage to hope in God's faithfulness. Daniel 6, another king introduced to be in power, and yet Daniel has been placed with some authority as well. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom," because he couldn't do it on his own, "with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent." And the pattern continues. Daniel is faithful. God blesses. Spiritual attacks ensue. More pressure, another death sentence. And look with me in verses 10 through 11. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem." He remembers Solomon's prayer before the temple was officially opened. When your people are not in Judah, when your people are not in Jerusalem, and they pray towards the temple, hear them. "Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help." When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? Daniel is found out thrown in the lion's den. Great efforts were taken to make sure he stayed in there. Reminds me of another story of a stone being placed to keep somebody else locked in as well. And King Darius returns to find Daniel and the lions having a good old time. And another revival takes place. Two things that I want you guys to walk away with this morning before we close. First one is this. Daniel and the three do right by God no matter the cost. Daniel and the three do right by God, no matter the cost. We see this over and over and over again in their stories. In the midst of pressure, they remain faithful to God within the small and the big areas of faith. And we are at times guilty of when the pressure gets tough in our jobs, our marriages, in our relationship with God, and in our relationships with one another. When things get tough, we start looking for ways out. There were no levels of what is important or what is not important to God. There were no, it's just. Just like there is no level of faithfulness that God has towards us. The second one. Common everyday obedience leads into a radical transformation. Hey, Jared, you can come on down, bud. In the midst of the pressure, they pressed into God. Look with me in chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. The reason Daniel could stand in the midst of the pressure is because he kneeled on a daily basis. A daily intimate relationship where God walked and talked with God in common everyday obedience that led into a radical transformation where courage led to hope in God's faithfulness. And Daniel did not do this out of religious obligation, guilt, shame, or even out of discipline. Daniel did this three times a day because of who met him there. Of who he found waiting for him there. Three times a day. This common everyday obedience sustained him when the pressure came. And his story invites us into that same intimacy. Wherever you are at this morning in your journey of faith, if you're just new to Christianity, if you're given Christianity a shot, if you've been a Christian your entire life, may this story be more than just a VBS highlight reel or something that you remember long ago. But may this story inspire you to see that when life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, because it will, if it hasn't yet, it will. When life and all that is precious to you is taken from you, what remains? May it be that you have courage to hope in God's faithfulness. And may you see the everyday common obedience. May you see God at work blessing in that. Because He's going to bless it. For the Bible tells me so. Let's stand, we'll pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, thank You for the power and the authority of this story and of Your Word. Father, may each one of us in this room, may we submit and may we commit our lives to living into the common everyday obedience that You've called us to. Help us to see You at work in our life. May we trust You and may we choose to have hope. Through Jesus we pray and give thanks. If you need to respond in any way, shepherds will be in the back. Please do so at this time while we sing.
My only hope is You, Jesus. My only hope is You. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is You. My only peace is You, Jesus. My only peace is You. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is You.
My joy,
my only joy is You. Jesus, my only joy is You. From early in the morning till late at night, my only joy is You.
I need
all that I need is You. Jesus, all that I need is You. that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is you.
Receive this blessing as you are dismissed. May each one of us, in spite of current circumstances, choose to have courage in God's faithfulness, come what may. The Lord bless you and keep you. You are dismissed. Peace to you.